Today is the 14th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, coming to you from Cappadocia, Turkey. Welcome back. Welcome back around the global campfire. Hello. Good to see you. Good to be with you. I'm so grateful to have a place where we can meet together every day and take another step forward, be together in a safe place, move together honestly and authentically, allowing the scriptures to come into our lives and hit us where they hit us. And they hit us where we need to be hit. Sometimes that's profound words of encouragement and hope. Sometimes that's profound words of correction. And then we get to take the reverberations and do with them what we will. We can take the counsel and change. Or ignore. And then the Bible also shows us where all of those roads go. And we're definitely seeing some of that as we move through the prophet Jeremiah at this point. So, let's jump in. Let's take another step forward together. It's kind of here in a safe place, this little oasis where we all have a place, where we all belong. It doesn't matter how we got here. We could have stumbled in here this morning, not believing what happened last night. Or we could have just been waiting here. It doesn't really matter. Everybody belongs here. We all belong here. And there is no reason to fake in order to belong, because we just belong. So let's jump in. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 21 through 25, verse 38. I have not sent these prophets, yet they run around claiming to speak for me. I have given them no message, yet they go on prophesying. If they had stood before me and listened to me, they would have spoken my words, and they would have turned my people from their evil ways and deeds. Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord? I have heard these prophets say, listen to the dream I had from God last night, and then they proceed to tell lies in my name. How long will this go on? If they are prophets, they are prophets of deceit, inventing everything they say. By telling these false dreams, they are trying to get my people to forget me, just as their ancestors did by worshiping the idols of Baal. Let these false prophets tell their dreams, but let my true messengers faithfully proclaim my every word. There is a difference between straw and grain. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? Therefore, says the Lord, I am against these prophets who steal messages from each other and claim they are from me. I am against these smooth-tongued prophets who say, this prophecy is from the Lord. I am against these false prophets. Their imaginary dreams are flagrant lies that lead my people into sin. I did not send or appoint them, and they have no message at all for my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. Suppose one of the people or one of the prophets or priests ask you, what prophecy has the Lord burdened you with now? You must reply, you are the burden. The Lord says he will abandon you. If any prophet, priest, or anyone else says, I have a prophecy from the Lord, I will punish that person along with his entire family. You should keep asking each other, what is the Lord's answer? Or what is the Lord saying? But stop using this phrase, prophecy from the Lord, for people are using it to give authority to their own ideas, turning upside down the words of our God, the living God, the Lord of heaven's armies. This is what you should say to the prophets. What is the Lord's answer? Or what is the Lord saying? But suppose they respond, this is a prophecy from the Lord, then you should say, this is what the Lord says. Because you have used this phrase, prophecy from the Lord, even though I warned you not to use it, I will forget you completely. I will expel you from my presence along with this city that I gave to you and your ancestors. And I will make you an object of ridicule, and your name will be infamous throughout the ages. After King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon exiled Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, to Babylon, along with the officials of Judah and all the craftsmen and artisans, the Lord gave me this vision. I saw two baskets of figs placed in front of the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. One basket was filled with fresh, ripe figs, while the other was filled with bad figs that were too rotten to eat. Then the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" I replied, "Figs. Some very good and some very bad, too rotten to eat." Then the Lord gave me this message. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The good figs represent the exiles I sent from Judah to the land of the Babylonians. I will watch over and care for them, and I will bring them back here again. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them hearts that recognize me as the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly. But the bad figs, the Lord said, represent King Zedekiah of Judah, his officials, all the people left in Jerusalem and those who live in Egypt. I will treat them like bad figs, too rotten to eat. I will make them an object of horror and a symbol of evil to every nation on earth. They will be disgraced and mocked, taunted and cursed, wherever I scatter them. And I will send war, famine, and disease until they have vanished from the land of Israel, which I gave to them and their ancestors. This message for all the people of Judah came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign over Judah. This was the year when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon began his reign. Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people in Judah and Jerusalem, for the past 23 years, from the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, until now, the Lord has been giving me his messages. I have faithfully passed them on to you, but you have not listened. Again and again the Lord has sent you his servants, the prophets, but you have not listened or even paid attention. Each time the message was this: turn from the evil road you are traveling and from the evil things you are doing. Only then will I let you live in this land that the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever. Do not provoke my anger by worshiping idols you made with your own hands, and I will not harm you. But you would not listen to me, says the Lord. You made me furious by worshiping idols you made with your own hands, bringing on yourselves all the disasters you now suffer. And now the Lord of heaven's armies says, because you have not listened to me, I will gather together all the armies of the north under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, whom I have appointed as my deputy. I will bring them all against this land and its people, and against the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy you and make you an object of horror and contempt, and a ruin forever. I will take away your happy singing and laughter. The joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will no longer be heard. Your millstones will fall silent, and the lights in your homes will go out. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland. Israel and her neighboring lands will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Then, after the 70 years of captivity are over, I will punish the king of Babylon and his people for their sins, says the Lord. I will make the country of the Babylonians a wasteland forever. I will bring upon them all the terrors I have promised in this book, all the penalties announced by Jeremiah against the nations. Many nations and great kings will enslave the Babylonians just as they enslaved my people. I will punish them in proportion to the suffering they cause my people. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled to the brim with my anger, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink from it. When they drink from it, they will stagger, crazed by the warfare I will send against them. So I took the cup of anger from the Lord and made all the nations drink from it, every nation to which the Lord sent me. I went to Jerusalem and the other towns of Judah, and their kings and officials drank from the cup. From that day until this, they have been a desolate ruin, an object of horror, contempt, and cursing. I gave the cup to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his attendants, his officials, and all his people, along with all the foreigners living in that land. I also gave it to all the kings of the land of Uz and the kings of the Philistine cities of Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and what remains of Ashdod. Then I gave the cup to the nations of Edom, Moab, and Ammon, and the kings of Tyre and Sidon, and the kings of the regions across the sea. I gave it to Dedan, Tema, and Buz, and to the people who live in distant places. I gave it to the kings of Arabia, the kings of the nomadic tribes of the deserts, and the kings of Zimri, Elam, and Media. And I gave it to the kings of the northern countries, far and near, one after the other, all the kingdoms of the world. And finally, the king of Babylon himself drank from the cup of the Lord's anger. Then the Lord said to me, "Now tell them, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Drink from this cup of my anger. Get drunk and vomit. Fall to rise no more, for I am sending terrible wars against you." And if they refuse to accept the cup, tell them, "The Lord of heaven's armies says, you have no choice but to drink from it. I have begun to punish Jerusalem, the city that bears my name. Now should I let you go unpunished? No, you will not escape disaster. I will call for war against all the nations of the earth. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. Now prophesy all these things and say to them, the Lord will roar against his own land from his holy dwelling in heaven. He will shout like those who tread grapes. He will shout against everyone on earth. His cry of judgment will reach the ends of the earth, for the Lord will bring his case against all the nations. He will judge all the people of the earth, slaughtering the wicked with the sword. I, the Lord, have spoken." This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. Look, disaster will fall upon nation after nation. A great whirlwind of fury is rising from the most distant corners of the earth. In that day, those the Lord has slaughtered will fill the earth from one end to the other. No one will mourn for them or gather up their bodies to bury them. They will be scattered on the ground like manure. Weep and moan, you evil shepherds. Roll in the dust, you leaders of the flock. The time of your slaughter has arrived. You will fall and shatter like a fragile vase. You will find no place to hide. There will be no way to escape. Listen to the frantic cries of the shepherds. The leaders of the flock are wailing in despair, for the Lord is ruining their pastures. Peaceful meadows will be turned into a wasteland by the Lord's fierce anger. He has left his den like a strong lion seeking its prey, and their land will be made desolate by the sword of the enemy and the Lord's fierce anger. Second Thessalonians 2. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction, because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. Psalm 84. For the choir director, a psalm of the descendants of Korah to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of Heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of Heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God of Heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favor upon the King, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of Heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. Proverbs 25:15. Patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can break bones. So passionate desire. Think of those words together. Passionate desire. Right? And we start thinking Song of Solomon, right? Or we start thinking, wait, where are we going with this? Because in most of our cultures, we would consider those words together. Passionate desire to be something like erotic or like something with sexual undertones. Or maybe we would go to sports, describe a person that's like completely focused on a gold medal, for example, in the Olympics. So it's not like inappropriate to consider passionate desire in either of those ways. They can all be true as well as other ways to look at it. But we're all probably aware of what it feels like to try to achieve a goal or to pursue some kind of ambition. And many of us are probably aware of the abandon found in passionate desire or intimacy with our spouse. But we usually find ourselves considerably less passionate or desiring when we think about intimacy with God. Passionate desire is a completely accurate description of what we read from the Psalms today. Like these words, I long. Yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. I mean, we can be passionate about a lot of things. When was the last time you felt that kind of passionate desire for the presence of God? I gotta ask myself that question. Because we are giving our passions to many things, even many people, while withholding them from God. A lot of times, that's not so much an intentional thing, it's that we're just not even, it's not a category, we're not even paying attention. We're not always present to where our passions are actually leading us until they have led us somewhere we do not belong and should have never gone. But those passions are all born first out of desire. So as we're reading Psalms today, essentially we're being told that the presence of God, even in the lowest, humblest position, is better than anything else. And we probably agree with that. Like, first of all, it's in the Bible. We probably agree with that. Even if it's just like a concept, we would agree with it. But how do we access this passionate desire that is being described in Psalms? Like, how do we get there? The answers given in the psalm, it's worship. And that is so loaded, because we can immediately think of song service on Sunday morning and how much the lights and the smoke are going and the flickering of the candles or whatever, and all of the jumping up and down and raising of our hands and singing louder and being whipped up into this kind of frenzy where we have this emotional kind of thing that happens, and we think, okay, that is the presence of God. That is passionate desire for God. I wish there was another like word, another synonym, another way to talk about this that wasn't so full of like baggage. Because worship has been packaged and sold a lot of ways. So let's just break it down, tear it apart, pull it apart. Worship is anything that we give our heart to in hopes of receiving something in return, life in exchange for giving our heart. And so the psalmist's passionate desire for the presence of God was born out of his experience. He had tasted an intimate union, an experience with God. And that had been achieved through actually worship, giving his whole heart. So worship isn't something that just happens on Sunday morning for 30 minutes in church, or 20 minutes depending on how the programming goes. Worship isn't just what you play in the background, or it's not some like magic tonic that you drink so that you can battle depression, or a method of moving through the stages of grief. Worship describes where we are focusing our passionate desire in the hope of finding life or relief. And this means that anything that unlocks our heart like that can be worship. And that includes the ways that we cope and the people that we reach for. That can be unhealthy, devastating worship, because we are expecting relief or life to come from it when it cannot. But conversely, understanding, if we're paying attention to where our passionate desires are leading us, then we also can become aware that all of life can be worship. Imagine, maybe even, like, I'm going to try to do this. Try to be present today. And imagine everything that you do to be an act of worship. Because that will change the way we do things today. Like, let's be intentional about trying to pay attention to ourselves and become aware of where our passions are leading us and becoming aware that God's presence is with us, watching us in all of our passions. God is always present with us. We're just not usually paying attention, which then allows our desires and passions to lead us to distraction and destruction. If we will focus our passionate desire on becoming just aware that it's not about an emotional thing, that we just become aware of God's presence and then allow our hearts to live and move and breathe in the presence of the God that we serve, well, then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's the Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. It's the shape of it is so normal and natural and yet so difficult to access based on the input of our culture. All of the flashing, blinking lights that are pulling us in all kinds of directions and pulling at our desire, trying to get our passion and even our money in all kinds of directions. When we have all that we need already within us and surrounding us, Your presence, Your leadership, Your guidance, Your comfort, Your direction is all already ours. And yet we'll keep being dissatisfied and keep being pulled in places that we do not belong and give our hearts to things and people that have no right to them in worship in exchange for some kind of little hit of dopamine, some kind of relief, some kind of comfort that only makes it worse. So we could pray, make us more aware of Your presence. We sing those kinds of songs, but it is going to require more than that. It's going to require that we are willing to pay attention. Help us do that as we walk through this day, making every breath an act of worship. May we inhale inspiration and exhale in surrender and worship and trust, believing that the next breath will come as a gift in every way and in everything. May we practice worship today. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Welcome back, everybody, to another installment. What are we calling these?
I literally was just thinking installment. I don't know what we call these. Daily vlogs. Daily vlog.
Yeah, daily, like, travel log of the goings on as we navigate some of the places in the Bible that we've never been. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot of early church stuff in Istanbul, Turkey, and kind of got acclimated, and that is like behind us now. Mm-hmm. 5 a.m. came very early.
Very.
That was not fun.
She was a bit brutal.
Yes. We boarded a plane and flew away from there and landed kind of in another world.
Yes, we did.
Hundreds and hundreds of miles away, but still in Turkey. And we are coming to you now from Cappadocia, or Cappadocia, as it's known in the Bible. And it's not a city. It's a region. A region with profound early church Christian history, but also is found in the Bible and the New Testament. Cappadocia is named in the book of Acts. So there's this story in the book of Acts that's pretty profound, the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? Like, yeah. There's upper room and tongues of fire and all this stuff happens. And people are outside listening to the commotion, and they begin to hear people praising God in their native tongue. Mm-hmm. And Cappadocians are there listening to God be praised in their own tongue. And so it is thought that that is probably how the gospel came back to this area. We're mm-hmm. quite a long ways from Jerusalem. But this is where that happened.
Would it be safe to say that they had not heard the gospel at all prior to that moment?
Likely. Yeah. I mean, likely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of in that moment that Peter does begin to preach the gospel. So outside of Jesus' own witness, and I don't know, the Cappadocians knew, or, well, like, we don't know. Like, that's not outlined in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But we are a long ways from Jerusalem, and they were there, and they heard God be praised in their own tongue, and likely brought that news, which was a miracle, which would have been astounding to them back here. Mm-hmm. And things began to catch fire. Peter also, in his letter, I think 1 Peter it is, he's writing to kind of dispersed Jews, people that have been lost in exiles and mm-hmm. like those in the diaspora, dispersed people that have been taken away. And he names Cappadocia as a place where people had run and had been assimilated and had run and had looked for peace and safety. So this is a region that was known for its spirituality. Oddly enough, like, there's Old Testament history too, the Hittites. Mm-hmm. This is like the land of the Hittites, and there was a Hittite empire that was contemporary with the Assyrian Empire and the Babylonian Empire and the Egyptian strength and power. It kind of, like, the Hittite Empire fell apart before the monarchy happened in Israel, but Hittites were known, like, for example, Abraham bought a cave to bury his wife Sarah in, the Cave of Machpelah. Mm-hmm. And that place exists. That's in Hebron. He bought it from Ephron the Hittite.
That's right, yeah.
And then David, like, one of the most horrible, awful stories in the Bible, really, is the David and Bathsheba story, where David takes Bathsheba, who's married, and he gets her pregnant and cannot cover it up. Like, he's trying to cover it up by bringing her husband back, but he's so loyal. He's named in the Bible as one of the 30 most loyal people to David. Mm. He's so loyal to him that he won't even go home.
Yeah.
Not while his brothers are out in battle. Like, he won't even go home. And so David has him killed.
Yeah.
To cover up what he's done. His name was Uriah the Hittite.
Yeah.
So, like, that, this is the region of the Hittites. Mm. And it is a very shockingly different place than Istanbul, right? Like,
oh man, it's like arriving on Mars. It was so cool.
So interesting. And like, it's a volcanic area and there are all these rock formations that are just otherworldly. And there's really early church history, like kind of after the New Testament, but probably reverberations of the Cappadocians receiving the gospel. Like the monastic life began to evolve in this area. The Desert Fathers in Syria and in Judean wilderness back in Israel. But here in central, well, what is now modern day Turkey, there was a monastic movement as well. And these, what's so fascinating, and we're going to explore some of this tomorrow, is that these, so I don't know if it's sandstone or what, but it's very carvable. And so people have been known, like whole cities of people have lived in dwellings that are carved out of rock.
Mm-hmm.
And we've passed by some of these, and it's not like a couple of people.
Right.
It's like thousands and thousands and thousands of dwellings. All throughout this area. And so some of the early monks would kind of carve out their place and seek God in the wilderness. And also during the Roman Empire's persecution of Christians, many fled out here and to hide in the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea of hiding in the rocks, and you know, that's in the Bible.
Two things about that real quick. First of all, I was going to say, maybe you should talk about what monastic lifestyle or monastic life is, but I think you just touched on that. Secondly, the hiding part made me think about Jesus saying, don't hide your light under a bushel.
Mm.
You are a city on a hill. You shine your light for all to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
When people literally want to kill you.
Yeah.
For your beliefs.
Yeah.
And because you worship the same God.
Mm-hmm.
Differently.
Mm-hmm. Ironically, we could say, well, they hid, because there's apparently an entire underground city where like 20,000 people were hiding and dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
That I believe we get to see tomorrow. Where Christians were hiding. Ironically, we could say, well, they didn't, you know, they should have just been martyred. They should have not hidden their light under a bushel, but we're still telling their story.
Yeah.
So is it really, like, was it hidden? Like, they, like, we are still talking about it 2,000 years later.
Yeah, and I don't think that we can say that about anybody. Well, they should have just...
Certainly.
We think we know what persecution is by being canceled out culturally.
Yeah, getting flamed on social media or something.
Yeah. Oh, well, they unfriended me.
Mm-hmm.
The
devil's really after me right now.
Let's
really
talk
under
about,
attack.
Yeah, let's talk about leaving everything you know and love and literally running to save your life. And this is, it gives a more clear picture for me, an understanding of Jesus saying, pick up your cross daily and follow me.
Yeah. Like,
are you willing to lose your life?
Mm.
And also, I mean, there's a lot to be said about that, but brother against brother,
yeah.
Mother against daughter,
yeah.
Daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose everything by following the actual person of Jesus.
Yeah.
And not a variation.
Right.
Not a false love.
Right.
The true love of God.
Right. And there was some devotion that we are bearing witness to that still exists out here, that the remnants and the reverberations are still all over Cappadocia.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I mean, we just kind of launched in. We get another day to explore the region. And, man,
It's a remarkable place. Geographically, very, very unique. And deeply rich in heritage.
Like, and if, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Like Roman heritage, you know, like we were at this church earlier today.
Yes.
Church built, you know, in honor of Emperor Constantine and his mom, Helena, Saint Helena, who was so largely responsible for gathering artifacts from the Holy Land and dispersing them throughout the Roman Empire and turning the empire, you know, toward Jesus. Just being in that old ancient church, just the reverberations are here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a church that never got turned into a mosque.
Yeah. One of the very few, I think.
Yeah.
That's what they said. And this, just the starkness
mm-hmm.
was so beautiful. I mean, there's nothing in there. Just an empty room of this beautiful stone, sandstone pillars and archways. And you can even see where they're crooked from the earthquakes that have happened.
Yeah.
But they're still standing. And
yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
I did have a moment that I haven't had a chance to talk to you about yet, because we're literally just sitting down together talking for the first time today. Standing on the tarmac, getting ready to plane to fly over here.
Mm-hmm.
It shifts your perspective when you are a minority
mm-hmm.
in a country mm-hmm. such as this.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we're in countries right now that thrive on tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not privy to how this tourist thing happens. So wherever we go, we hear a lot of different foreign languages.
Yeah.
And it's not just the language of this region. Mm-hmm. It's not just Turkish they're speaking.
Right.
So many different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And you get kind of used to that after a couple of days.
Yeah.
And so we're standing on the tarmac. We had to walk outside, and we're some of the last people to load onto the plane. But just out of nowhere, the lady behind me spoke plain English.
Mm.
No accent. Mm-hmm. Like, I would not have been able to tell where she was from. Usually I'm like, oh my gosh, you're from Michigan, aren't you? Or, you know, whatever. And it just was like, oh, there's my people.
Mm.
And a lot happened in that moment of thinking about this area of what happened during Pentecost, because it wasn't just the fact that they spoke in tongues and it was a word from the Lord that was blurted out. It was the fact that somebody identified, they heard their native tongue.
Yeah.
Which made them immediately feel seen and known.
Mm.
And just maybe that comfort of, oh, I'm not alone here.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a message like that in their native tongue that they had never heard before.
Yeah.
I think we major on the minor and minor on the major.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Tongues of fire, and everybody spoke in tongues, and we need to pray that everybody will be speaking in tongues by the end of this message today. I'm not sure that that was the point.
Mm-hmm.
It was that people that would have never been able to hear the message of God's love, the message of God,
mm-hmm.
one true God to be worshipped alone. It's that in the midst of a sea of people being unknown, in a split second, you are known and seen and loved. And obviously, you're going to pay attention to what is said next.
Yeah.
That hit me like a ton of bricks standing on that tarmac today.
Yeah.
Just hearing the lady behind me speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I know what she's saying. I don't have to wonder. And it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, there's a little bit of camaraderie here, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it just made me think of that. And it was kind of huge.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I love that. Thank you.
Welcome. And the rocks made me think of this, the stalagmites.
Stalagmites?
Stalagmites. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will get these words right by the time we go home.
Yeah.
In the caves.
Yeah. Yeah, we got some pictures of that for the post today. And just to kind of give you a glimpse of our days and bring you along. And we're grateful to everybody who is following along and praying for us and enjoying that. We certainly are working hard to bring it, but enjoying bringing it to you so you can see it too. Man, this place also just kind of didn't know it, but this is one of the textile, you know, capitals of the world. So like a lot of tiling and stuff, not just all over Turkey, but all over the world. And that this isn't like a new thing. It's not like this is a developing industry. This has been going on for like, you know, back into the Roman era. So this has been going on for a very long time. This area has the right stone for it. And
yeah,
artisans generation after generation after generation, going way back into antiquity, you know, are involved in this. And so we ended up at this place kind of ragged out, like kind of like, what do we, you know, what do we exactly here for, and what's this all about? But kind of being educated about, this is who the people are. This is what Cappadocia, like, this is its history. Because it shows up in the Bible. And so, just kind of seeing the things and what happened here. And, but man, did we get a lesson?
Yeah.
We got to, it was so funny, not funny, it was so beautiful to watch you light up when they were like, would you like to do it? We saw a master pottery maker. A potter. Like a master potter.
Yeah.
And I'm like literally watching this guy do this, you know, spin the wheel and create this beautiful kind of decanter, basically. And thinking, wow, the potter and the clay, like, this is so spiritual. And this is like, I'm literally watching this happen before my eyes, watching a master actually make something remarkable.
Yeah.
Out of nothing, out of just this big lump of clay.
Yeah.
And the skill involved. But then they were like, would you like to do it?
Yeah.
And you were like, are you kidding me? Like, I've wanted to do this my whole life.
I really have.
And you got to make a bowl.
Yeah, and so did you.
Yeah, mine was a little lopsided. You were like pretty skilled.
No, it was such, I don't even know how to describe it. It was such a lesson brought to, you know, that 3D lesson popping off.
Yeah.
Page. Cause we were looking at, we were watching a master that it took him 5 years to become a master at what he did. So he could do it probably with his eyes closed, but he's standing over us, guiding us, teaching us. We've never done it before.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just brought the whole picture of potter and clay to life.
Watching a master do it looks easy.
Yeah.
So you sit down and try to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and my thing's going lopsided and I'm like, wow. You know, outside the hands of a master, everything goes lopsided, and like we are supposed to be like clay in the hands of a master, and how we try to form ourselves, like how we're trying to make our own thing, and it's just lopsided. It's just nothing but lopsided. And but maybe faith is, and maybe trust is, that, you know, we don't have to make ourselves. We have to be made. And then, I mean, so there's that whole moment of just watching that happen. But then we got to see the other skills, like, because once the pottery, like, once there's a beautiful thing that's actually beautiful made and functional made, there's a very big process that, and I just didn't realize there are, like, bona fide, like, museum grade artists
yeah.
that work in these, you know, with these materials and create staggering, intricate beauty.
Unbelievable.
And we got to meet some of them and kind of watch them. And it's like, man, that is so small.
Yeah.
There was one guy, like the leading master of Hittite art.
Yeah.
Which was fascinating because he's kind of studied all this. And so he's, you know, kind of created things from the Hittite Empire. And just seeing the intricate geometry and man, it was profound.
I don't know if you saw, he had a pillow positioned underneath the bowl because of how he had to position himself probably for like there all day while he was creating this section of this massive bowl.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh man, that poor dude's neck. But he just, his meticulousness, it was so fascinating to watch.
Yeah, the discipline. Almost like monastic in its own way. Like, it's a very, very, very disciplined thing that takes a very, very long time to master and a very long time to make. We were even seeing small bowls that were like, yeah, this takes 10 days to make this small bowl. So the thing he was working on is like, you know, who knows how long that took.
But. Yeah. And some of these patterns, like there's one bowl in the gallery itself that looked like it was just thousands of little tiny beads that were placed in. It's all the handiwork of the artist and their pen creating these patterns of beauty that was just fascinating.
Very. So to kind of just immerse ourselves in the region, and this is just a well-known region that people travel to, and I can see why. You know, it's just very, so very different geographically than just most any other place. So I was so tired. Like, we were so tired today, but it was a beautiful day. A beautiful, beautiful day.
It was. I want to say something about your lopsided bowl.
Yeah.
I loved it. And they said, even the sweet woman that took us on the tour, that was sixth generation of family.
Yeah.
They love the imperfections.
Yeah.
They welcome the imperfections because it makes it a one of a kind. And it makes it unique
and human. And I loved what they said, perfection is for God.
Yes, that was the line I was trying to remember. I couldn't remember.
Yeah,
perfection is for God. I was like, that is a t-shirt moment waiting to happen.
Yeah, that was great. And so I guess then we kind of, it was sunset. And we got to, like, there's a volcano, like there's a pretty big volcano nearby that we could see off in the distance. And got to take a picture of that. That's in the video today. And came back here and we had to kind of set up everything and get some rest because it's an early morning for us again.
Yep.
I guess that's what we did today. I guess that's our, you have any other thoughts?
No, I'm sure there's things in there that we forgot that I just cannot remember in this moment, but...
Yeah. Lunch?
Oh, yeah, lunch was
kind of home-cooked family, like a little tiny hole-in-the-wall restaurant. It was delicious.
Yeah.
And the hospitality again. The hospitality again.
Yep. I ate eggplant today, maybe the second time in my life, and it wasn't bitter. So, that was delicious. And then the rice pudding. Never had that here before, so that was really yummy.
Yeah.
And now I have a nice bottle of 2025 good year cold water.
Yeah.
Chilling on some mint and cucumber.
Yeah.
Thanks to turkey.
Yeah.
For keeping it fresh.
Yeah.
At dinner.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be delicious. How long are you going to let it age?
About 30 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, friends. Well, we love you. And thanks for coming along with us. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The app is home base. Definitely tuned into a developer meeting today. 8 hours different, but tuned in today and trying around that corner, trying to like make that final sprint to bring all of this technology that's taken years, been years in the making, and kind of launching it. So that's on the horizon, but this is where you can get, you know, the app is out of, is available now, the one we have, and dailyaudiobible.com is where to get connected. If you want to follow on social media this trip, then the community section is where the links are, or just search for Daily Audio Bible wherever it is that you are. And if we're in that space too, you can follow that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, we're humbled beyond words that we've been at this for all these years every day and that we haven't been alone in it. We're humbled. Thank you for your partnership. If what's happening is meaningful, then thank you. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can
call 800-583-2164. That is for chronological.
Or 877-942-4253 if you're calling Daily Audio Bible. And if you are using the app, you can press the red button up in the upper right-hand corner of the hotline button, no matter where you are or no matter when it is, and reach out. And that is all for today. I am Brian.
I am Jill.
The wife.
Okay. Don't ever refer to me as the wife ever again. I know you think you're cute, but I'm serious.
We were on this little rise, and I'm like, I want to get a selfie with the wife. And she's like, the wife?
I will karate chop you. Don't ever. Just came to get the wife.
The little lady.
I'll take little lady.
They did call you that. Lady?
But not the wife.
Yeah.
That's like worse than the ball and chain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. The wife. It's not funny.
Well, I just keep hearing our guy go, the Jesus Christ. And it's just rubbing off on me.
I do love that. I think that's so... I heard Jesus the Christ too, so...
It's endearing.
The Satan,
yes.
Too.
This is where they believed the Jesus Christ said this and that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let's just be clear. Don't ever call me the wife.
All right, noted. All right, guys, we love you. And did we already say our names?
I don't know. Yeah, we did. But he'll be waiting for you here
tomorrow.
Hello, Dabbers. This is Dano from Orlando. It's been a while since I called in. It's been about 20 months since my open heart surgery, and I'm doing well. Praise God. I just wanted to call in today and thank this community. Thank Brian and Jill and Ezekiel for the ministry, the encouragement that I receive every day when I listen to this podcast. I know that the symbol for this podcast and gathering is a campfire, but I think it's so much more than that. It's a banquet table at which we feed every day from the Word of God, brought so eloquently by Brian and his family. And then, as if that's not enough, I hear the prayers, the support and encouragement to one another as we listen to each other's needs and lift them up to the Lord. And I see God glorified day after day. today as some of those same people who have called in with such difficult prayer requests, losses, pain, and suffering, acknowledging the comfort and the encouragement that they've received and the Holy Spirit's work in their lives to keep them going. Oh, praise the Lord for such glorifying and edifying communications. And I just thank God for all of you. I pray for you daily as you do for the rest of us. Brian and Jill and Ezekiel, have great time on your trip. May God watch over you, provide for you in every way, and may the good Lord continue his blessing on all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. I'm calling in to pray for a sister who I wasn't quite sure exactly what the situation was, but it sounds like she helps orphan refugees down in El Salvador, or come out of Haiti, you know, to El Salvador, and there's a lot of kids she's trying to help move for them to have asylum there. So Lord, I just want to lift up this woman and these kids to you. Yeah, there are 94 kids waiting on you for protection, safety, and for healing. Not only that, but there's an opportunity for you to work in their lives spiritually. God, I pray that you would move them and you'd get them there. And there is nothing too big for you to handle. So, Lord, we pray this in your mighty and matchless name. You are stronger than any force of this world, and I believe that you can do this for them. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Hi, my beautiful Deluxe Dab fam. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels. It is October 9th, and I would love to lift up two prayer requests to our Father God in heaven. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your beautiful, holy, righteous, and reverential name. Lord God, we come before you because you are our sovereign God. You are the creator of the universe, and you created everything through your power, your understanding, and your wisdom, Father God, and you did it all through Christ Jesus. And we are so grateful that you made a way back to us, Lord, and that Jesus gave his life for us in order to redeem us from the power of sin and the just requirements, Father God. And we just come before you and we lift up our dabbers. We lift up Christy from Kentucky, Father. She has lost her husband, Tim, after many, many moons of marriage. Lord, you brought these two together under holy matrimony. And Lord, we come alongside our sister, Father God. We know that grief is so hard, loss is so tremendous. And we know that your word says that when we don't even know what to pray, that the spirit utters groans, and these groans go up to you, Lord, and they're exactly what we need to say to you, Father God. So we just pray that you comfort Christy in this season, Lord, that you give her that comfort. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We know we stand on his word, Father God, and we pray that her community comes alongside of her as well and gives her that human comfort as well, while you're giving her that spiritual loving comfort and cloaking her within your wings, Lord God. Father, we lift up our Dab family, Brian, Jill, and the team as they're in the land of the New Testament. Father, we pray that you renew and give them vigor and energy of a child every day as they explore this land, and you give them new revelation, Lord, that they can share with us through photography and video and make a pathway for the Dab community to get there.
Hi there, Dab family. This is Sherry in Florida. I have never called in before. I've been listening for quite a while now. Thank you to my sister, Tammy, who will probably hear this, for sharing this with me and plugging me in. This has been an amazing, amazing blessing to me every single day. Although I have lots of things I could call in and ask for prayer for, I just heard Melissa from Houston, and that she just lost her sweet mom. And I had to call in and let you know, Melissa, I am going to be lifting you up in prayer, and you're going to be on my mind, and I'm going to be sending you strength, because my sisters and I lost our mom 14 years ago, and she was only 54, and it was cancer as well. And as difficult as it was, and even still is to this day, to navigate a life without your mama, especially when you have kids and you have to raise them and you need advice and guidance and you just need that. As difficult as it is, you will find the strength. God will totally provide for you. He will show you a new way. And I believe your mama will be watching you every step of the way. So hang in there, and lots of love coming from Florida. Thank you.